I am looking at the clock. So, if you want to come to second service, I'll finish my message then. So maybe that'll work out for you. I don't think we'll have to. Sure, I can go more, but I have Sunday school next. I'll have to reserve that. Thank you. I want to speak on something this morning that is not specifically Mother's Day. It's going to be dealing with two ladies from the scripture. And we, as men, can apply that to ourselves, too. So there's nothing that anyone can say, I can sit back and relax, go ahead and hit on the moms and talk all about them if you want, that we'll have that. So I want us to take our Bibles, if you would, please, turning to chapter 10 of the book of Luke. Chapter 10 of the book of Luke. You know, worship is at the heart of all that we are and all that we do in the Christian life. It's very important that we be busy ambassadors taking the message of the gospel to lost souls. It's also important to go to hurting people who need God's mercy. But before I can represent the Lord Jesus Christ as I should or imitate him in my caring ministry, I have to spend time with him and learn from him. We must take time to be holy. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. When you find that, would you stand to your feet, please, as we read the scriptures today. Luke 10, 38. Familiar story. I'm sure with all of us, we'll look to this morning. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Loving Father, as we look to your word today, we ask for your wisdom, for your direction. We ask for understanding. What principles that are here in this passage of scripture as we look at it are so valuable to our Christian lives. So hard to do at times, and we set them aside, and we need to concentrate again on the word of God and the truth of God and taking time to be holy, and it takes time. There's the time that we need to spend with you and spend alone with you. So we pray that you will lead us through your word today and that you might be glorified in all things, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. We look at this passage of scripture, of course, about Mary and Martha. And as I said, most of us know that story. And by the way, we'll talk about them, but sometimes it's always poor old Martha. She gets put down, you know, and Mary is put up. But we're going to look at the responses of that in what it is in their heart and their life. Now, personally, I believe that Martha was a loving woman of God who loved the Lord. She had a different perspective than her sister Mary had, but there was a love that she had in her heart for the Lord, and the Lord had to rebuke her at times and to show her the way she should go. So let's look at them today. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 39, it talks about Martha receiving him into her house, and it says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, there was Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Martha was the one who had the house. Lazarus and his sister Mary, they were younger, and they came and they lived with Martha at the time. Some commentators even suggest that Martha possibly was a widow, that she had been married, and so she had the home, and so they came and lived with her. I don't know that. I never see that in the scripture as such, but it may be true. But she was the one who was the leader in the home at that time. But it says here in this verse, and she had a sister called Mary, which also, I want you to circle that. I encourage you to circle that word, also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. The word also is very important as we look into this passage of scripture. You know, few believers are able to go to the word of the Lord and wait on him like the Lord himself did. Turn back to the book of Isaiah, if you will, please, for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 50, we're just going to look at a couple verses there. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. And this is, of course, at this time, this is talking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah is talking about how he had learned. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned a way back. And it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ there. Isaiah is talking about him and what he learned from his father and the learning and the important time and the important thing was to wait upon the Lord at that period of time. So as we see it, he learned that, and certainly as our Lord Jesus Christ was being taught that, we need to be taught that in our own lives. We need to be willing to wait upon the Lord. Well, one of the things we see about Mary is the Lord Jesus Christ occupied her mind. What a blessedness. The Lord occupied her mind. I ask you this morning, and we all could, not to raise our hands, but we all could have some conviction about that and say, the first thing when you got up this morning was, boy, I'm going to church. I can't wait to get to church. I know what I want to learn, and I'm just so excited at getting to church. And the whole way here, you were thinking about the word of the Lord and everything. You see, sometimes we're not that way. But Mary was. The Lord Jesus Christ occupied her mind fully, and how that must have pleased the Lord, that somebody cared so much for her that was willing to listen to him. He gave himself for you and for me, and nothing but my personal devotion is going to satisfy him. I need to have that personal devotion that I'm occupied with the things of the Lord. As trials come, as difficulties come, as we face things without our life, is that place in our hearts and our lives where we're occupied with the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do and what he will do as we present ourselves to him. Well, the picture we have here is the Lord of glory, the Creator God, giving his time and undivided attention to this humble woman. And as she is there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, when you understand that, when they talk about the feet, it was a normal thing that anybody who was teaching the word, and you'll find out throughout the scripture, that they would sit at the feet of that person. So when you see that idea, it's not just something that she just did. But people who would be worshiping the Lord or listening to a teacher at that time would do so. And here she is. You know, I can run around and I can get a lot of truth, but if I sit at the Lord's feet, he's always going to minister to me. There's nothing wrong with going to other services and other different things that we might go and programs we might go to. Nothing wrong with that. But the most important part of my life and of your life is being at that place. And the most profitable thing in spiritual condition in my life is being sitting at the feet of Jesus. Lord, what do you have to teach to me today? What do you have to give to me? Well, we have a contrast here, don't we, within Martha. We think of Martha at this time. She was cumbered about much serving. The word cumbered is just simply means she was distracted. I started thinking this as I was looking through this thing, and I thought, was Martha the only person like that? Do you know people that were having company over? What happens? We clean up the house. It's spit shined. It's so clean. And then the meal, all were concerned, and the poor wife sometimes out there in the kitchen and all she's doing is concerned about the meal and getting ready everything. Can you imagine this with me for just a moment? What if it were possible for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in the flesh to your house? Come on in anytime. It's fine. You can just drop in anytime. If you knew he was coming to your house today, what would you do? Do you think you'd start getting things ready? Making sure everything was just right. Jesus is coming to our house today. What would it be like? And so we understand a little bit with Martha. She's looking at the very fact here, and she's cumbered about, as it says, with much serving, was distracted, and she was getting ready for all this. And I can imagine her in the kitchen going crazy, getting all the meal ready and get everything fine and presentable for the Lord. The Lord Jesus is coming. Now you remember at the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus was Jesus' favorite place to go. He loved to go to their home. There was a part there that was so special to him that he loved to go to her home. And we find that also in the scripture that he did that. But you know, what we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. What I do with Christ is far more important than what I do for Christ. You know, I can be out there and I can be active, as I say, serving the Lord and everything, but what am I doing with Christ? Am I spending time with him? You see, Mary had that place in her heart and her life that she was spending time with the Lord, and she knew the importance of spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ at that point in time. You know, we can get distracted with good things. It's very easy to do that. Now, don't misunderstand me what I'm going to say here, because sometimes you only hear the first sentence and you just start judging me on that. I don't mean this in the wrong sense. But, you know, sometimes missionary work, Bible studies, and things like that, we can get so involved with that that we don't have time to spend at the feet of Jesus. And we're missing out. Well, those things are good things, wonderful things, blessed things. But we have to watch that we have things in balance in our life, and there is a balance in our life, that we spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 40. It says, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Kind of a rebuke to the Lord, was it not? You know, sounds like the disciples. Remember when they were out in the ship and the sea was coming and everything, and dost thou not care that we perish? Well, certainly he cares. Now, we sing a hymn, don't we? Does Jesus care? And when you get to that chorus, I always want to blast that out. I don't, but with my voice. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Wonderful thing. Does Jesus care? And she's coming and say, don't you care? I'm back here working. Mary is sitting there at your feet, and I've got a lot of things I need help with. If she would come, and she asked her if she would bid him come or bid her come at that time. And the only reason she did that is because she knew Mary wouldn't come. Unless Jesus said, would you go help her? You see, it was so important to Mary that she did not want to be distracted. She did not want to be cumbered with other things, because there was only one thing in her heart and in her life that was so important to her at that time, and it was the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's misjudging the Lord, of course, at that point in time, and there's something selfish about that. In what God has done for me, why should I ever say to him one time, don't you care? Don't you understand? Don't you care? He cared enough to give his life upon the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood and be separated from his Father as he hung there on the cross, because he loved you and he loved me. Does he care? Certainly he cares. Well, she comes and she asks that at that point in time. And sometimes we might ask that question. Maybe he doesn't care about the fix I'm in, the burdens I have, the things that I'm going through at this point in time. Maybe you've even thought that in the back of your mind. You said, I don't want to say that to anybody, but I'm wondering that things aren't being taken care of at this point in time. And then you go back and you look at the Lord, the creator of the universe. And as scripture tells me, he feeds the sparrows. He takes care of that little bird. He makes sure that little bird is taken care of. Surely he will take care of his children. And that memory has to come back in our hearts and our minds. And he can arrange things in our lives if we take time to sit at his feet and learn to be still and learn to be instructed by him. Martin Luther said this. He said, because I have so much work I have to do today, I have to have more than usual time for prayer. Now, I'm not suggesting this to you, but I'm going to tell you what Martin Luther said. 3 or 4 hours. I've got a lot to do today. Was often our attitude. I've got so much to do today. Boy, I really don't have much time to spend with the Lord today, because I got to get this stuff done. Martha, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Focus your eyes upon a Mary who learned those things. She misjudged the Lord, and of course then she misjudged her sister, because she said, my sister hath left me to serve alone. Do you think your sister thought it was better company being at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, than it was to be working back in the kitchen? Mary had found that one needful thing, that good part within her heart and within her life. Few things are so damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ. See, I can't work for him till I've learned to commune with him, and I've learned the things that he wants me to do and the things that he will supply to me in my heart and my life. If you have learned to wait before him, others can't get you to rush off. I always think of the Wesley's mother, how it was said, I forget how many children, but it was 15 or 16. You came knocking on her front door, and her children would come to the door, and we'd like to see your mother. Well, mom's with the Lord right now. She can't see you. If with 15 or 16 children to take care of in her home, she had time to be with the Lord, do we have time to spend with the Lord? Certainly we do. But see, Mrs. Wesley knew what the value was in spending time at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one thing that is needful. Look at verse 41, if you will, please. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And is that the important word of this whole passage? One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know, it's difficult to get folks who are involved in church work, missionary work, and so on. Even folks like the church at Ephesus, you know, where the Lord Jesus Christ is writing there in the book of Revelation chapter 2. And says, I know thy works and I know thy toil. I know what you've done. But thou didst leave thy first love. What is most important in our lives? The one thing that is needful is communing with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The question comes sometimes, why did Martha think she had to wear herself out to please the Lord? You know, the Lord was very simple in things he did. Remember, he's feeding, there's 5,000 people sitting out there, and he's preaching to 5,000 people and giving them word, and the disciples say, hey, look, it's dinner time. These people, we have to let them go. We can't feed them. We don't have anything to do with them. And the Lord says, well, what do you have? Well, we have some crackers and some fish here and just a little bit, but what is that? The Lord says, okay, go ahead and feed them. It was simple. God's way is simple when we trust in him and believe in him and believe in the power of God, that he can do all things and he can do it in a simple way. We don't have to do that. The Lord's plan for your life and for my life is very simple. And Mary hath chosen, Jesus said, the good part, communicating with him. We have to choose it, by the way. It's nothing that it just comes automatically. I have to choose that good part. I have to choose that willingness and let it be known that I have to be alone with the Lord. It seems in a way Martha never really learned Mary's secret at that time. One writer said this, G. Campbell Morgan actually said, a good woman may own a house and run it and herself to death, while another sort of woman will hold a complete village by her love and ministry. That's where it is. Serving the Lord, giving ourselves to him in that. Now, I want to go back to another passage, John chapter 11, because this is the second time, the other time we see Mary and Martha this time. John chapter 11. I'm not going to read the whole chapter and look at the whole chapter, just look at some thoughts here. In verse 3 it says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And this is when Lazarus is sick at this time. And they said, Lord, you love Lazarus. We know. We've watched your attitude. And as I said earlier, Jesus was always at home with his family. And theirs was the only family he spent a lot of time with. If he was in Bethany, he was going to go there. Bethany, just about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And if he was going to go to their home in Bethany, he was going to go and do that at that point in time. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, no matter what illness comes to our homes, what difficulty comes, if I'm a believer and I've received Jesus Christ, I can say, Lord, I know it's for your glory. I know it's for your glory. And Jesus, when they're calling and saying, Lazarus is sick. Interesting thing, Jesus is about 20 miles away, crossed the Jordan at Bethsaida at this time. And he has, it's about a 2 days journey in walking, a 2 days journey that we'd had to get there. Well, by the time he got the word that Lazarus was sick, Lazarus was already dead. And then we see in this passage of scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ waited another 2 days before he left. And I can see the concern of a Mary and a Martha at that point in time. I wonder if they were out there looking up the pathway and say, where's Jesus? He's not coming. What's happened? Lazarus is now dead. And of course, when Jesus gets there, the both of them in a different area, both of them say, Lord, if you had been here, he had not died. And when we begin to look at it, their hearts and their lives at this time, we understand this. Look at verse 7, if you will. Then after that, verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now remember at this time, if you keep in fact, when he was in Judea, of course, Jerusalem is being too 2 miles away from Bethany, the home of there. They had to be careful about going back. And the disciples say, you sure you want to go back to Judea? You know what it's like there? They're trying to kill you and the things that are going on. And so Jesus took time. And what he did is, why he waited another 2 days? He had to hear from his Father. Is that something that I should learn? That I need to hear from my Heavenly Father before I go into? But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God incarnate in the flesh, said, I have to wait for my Father. I have to wait for directions from him. And what an encouragement that ought to be. You know, love always longs to alleviate a problem, particularly sickness and the trouble of loved ones. But, you know, we have to wait. And he was waiting on his Father, and he waited to go. But then notice down in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Here it is again. But Mary sat still in the house. She was always waiting on the Lord, waiting for what God wanted to give her at that time. And here comes Martha, and she's rushing out. And Mary, of course, has learned a deep secret. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And see, to wait is one thing the flesh can't do. And that shows us when we're carnal. When God says, wait, and I know I want to do it now, I got to get this taken care of today. And God is saying, no, you wait. You wait. And that the flesh has always battles us with that very thing. But see what had happened. Martha had permitted service to take place of communion. It's good to serve. Do we need Marthas? Certainly we do. But we need to find people like a Mary who said, I want to serve, but I have to have communion with my Lord first. And that's more important. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning what he wants to teach me, that he might direct me in my heart, my life. You know, later on in verse 21 here, we see that Martha had said about, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had died. And then later on, Mary's going to say the same thing, just a little bit different place. How poor our faith can be at a time like that. If only certain things would not have happened. And then we go, and we look at Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you, what? Always. Even unto the end of the world. God says, I'm always there. I'm always there. Just wait on the Lord. Wait patiently on him. What will happen? Well, then Jesus says to Martha in verse 23, Jesus saith, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh, yes, Lord, she says. I believe what you have said at that point of time. But what she was thinking about, yeah, he's going to live again in the resurrection. And Jesus is trying to say, no, he's going to live again now. I'm going to take care of it. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. And I'm going to take care of that in that point in time. And she had postponed things. Martha then calls Mary. Look at verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master has come and calls for thee. Now, why did she go secretly? Again, because they didn't want everybody to know that Jesus was in Bethany. They didn't want the Jews from Jerusalem who were seeking to kill him to know that. And so she had to go back to her sister secretly at that point in time and say that to her. But you know, the Lord didn't tell Martha to do that. But she knew Mary had a nearer place with the Lord than she did. She understood that. She understood there was a difference in she and Mary with that. And Peter and John was the very same thing between Peter and John. There was a difference in how they felt and that they knew one another. But look at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know, in essence, what she's saying at this point in time, I wish it had been possible for you to be here. You weren't here, and I wish it were. It could have been done. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is touched by their hearts at that point in time. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, come and see. That's all we need to say to the Lord. When the problems face us and the difficulties of life are coming to us, all we need to do is say, Lord, come and see. I want to show you this, Lord. This is my burden. This is what I'm carrying. This is the load I have at this point in time. And as I am willing to go and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him, he's willing to take care of my need. And of course, we know the story here of Lazarus and everything that had happened that time. He was touched by their need when they said, come and see. Well, there are three classes of Christians here that we've looked at in this passage of scripture, particularly here in John. And in John chapter 12, verse 1, notice there it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Interesting. Now, one thing that's neat, I think about this at this time. You don't hear about Martha complaining. She's come a few steps. Let's give her, be patient with her. She's come a little way. She's not complaining about having to serve. Go get Mary here. Where is she? I need her. She's come a little bit, but she's still that lady who's serving at all that point in time within her heart and her life. But here's Martha serving again at this time. And as I said earlier, we need Marthas. We need people that are willing to serve. I think if Martha ever did get to the feet of Jesus and find that blessing that her sister had at that time. Then it was a second person was Lazarus, which it said in verse 2, there they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. He sat at meat with the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, could there be anything beyond that, that be sitting at meat at the dinner table with the Lord Jesus Christ? And what a blessedness it must come at that time. We've been seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. That's where we have been at that time. Well, look at verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You see, what Mary did, she ministered to the Lord. She ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. By the way, that ointment, the cost of that ointment would have been, a common laborer would have to work for 1 year to get the finances to buy that ointment. And what's Mary saying? This is the best thing I have. I'm going to give it to you, Lord. You see, we can minister to the Lord as we give our lives to him, as we present ourselves to the Lord, and we can have a personal ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, and if we're content merely with service or to sit at meat, he won't rebuke you, and he won't rebuke me for that, but there's a higher place, a place of ministry to him. I can't get to that place of ministry if I haven't learned to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a Mary did and grew at that time. We think of how Mary understood what was happening at that point in time. She was thinking of what was going to happen, and we see when she was preparing him with it for his crucifixion that was going to be coming about very soon. And of course, Judas is there and he's saying, hey, you know what that ointment cost? Wow, that's a whole year's wages for a common laborer, and she's putting it on Jesus' feet. And there again, we understand was Judas was only interested in what was in the bag, the money he had. And that was the only thing he was seeking. And Jesus says this in verse 7. Chapter 12, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Isn't it interesting? Mary knew and understand that Jesus was going to be crucified. Peter didn't understand that. John didn't understand it, even though the Lord kept talking to them about what was going to happen. They hadn't come to that point in time. You know why? They hadn't learned to sit at the feet of Jesus and just listen to him, what he had. The fragrance of devoted service to Christ himself that she showed. Well, there's a place of fellowship with in ministry to Christ that's above ordinary service. There's a place that's above sitting at meat with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a place of direct, loving, tender fellowship with Christ himself. That's what he calls upon us to do. If we choose to sit at the feet of Jesus, we're going to learn many things. He's going to teach us as we learn to take that time. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn. I had never heard this hymn, but Charles Wesley wrote a hymn. And it was about this passage of scripture there in Luke chapter 10. Because he said this in his hymn. Faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part. Serve with careful Martha's hands. And loving Mary's heart. You see, there's a task. There was something to be accomplished that needed to be accomplished that time. It seems evident that the Lord wants each of us to imitate Mary in our worship and Martha in our service. Blessed are the balanced. We needed both of them. We needed a Martha, but we needed a Mary. I ask you this morning as I seek to, in my own heart, as I was preparing this message, to seek in my own heart and ask the same question. Do I spend time sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Just meditating upon his word? Just listening to what he wants to say to me? Ever notice how much time that when I pray and when you pray that we pray and we do the talking? We need to stop and listen. Say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And listen for him to speak to our hearts. How does he speak to my heart? Through the word. Sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing the word. No better place that we could have in our hearts and our lives than that. I'd like you to take your hymnal this morning. I'm going to close with a hymn. Something we mentioned first, page 413. And I just want to close with this hymn in a moment. 413. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. 413. Before we sing, let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Loving Father, we look to you today. Teach us a lesson, Lord. It's a hard lesson to learn. We're so prone to be like Martha's all the time, serving. And we need people who will serve in the church and serve in the ministry and do these things in the church that you've given us to do. But Lord, there's a special place that we neglect so readily. And that's sitting at your feet, listening to your word, growing in the things of Christ that we may be made more like unto you. So we pray, Father, that in this moment of contemplation, as we close the service today, that our hearts might be upon you, our thoughts might be upon you, and we might praise you and give you thanks for what you will do in our lives if we will come to that place of meditation. Come to that place of just listening to your word, listening to the teaching that you will show us to make us more like yourself. What blessings we fail to have simply because we're too busy Christians. We're too active in doing other things and not active in spending the most important thing. Mary hath chosen that good part. What a lesson you've taught us today, Lord. Help us to seek to be those who will take our time to be holy and speak oft with our Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.